This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Shaoik. You're listening to Because Feelings Matter, a short series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. Through their stories, we hope to normalize conversations about mental health and to hear how people found support for their struggles. Today's episode features a mother who has been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. PTSD is defined as a trauma or stressor-related disorder, something we usually associate with violent events like war, combat, or sexual assault. But there is a wide range of stressful and distressing events that can also lead to PTSD, triggering symptoms like flashbacks, distressing thoughts, or self-destructive behavior. Popular culture has explored PTSD, for example, in TV shows or in movies like The Hurt Locker, for instance. But when you look beyond the dramatized depiction in movies, what is it like to live with PTSD? While not everyone who has been exposed to trauma goes on to develop PTSD, those who do have very unique and valid experiences. This is Aisha's story.
So, hi, I'm Aisha. I'm 30 years old. I'm a mother of a 4-year-old daughter. I'm a stay-at-home mother.
Individuals diagnosed with PTSD experience severe disruptions to their daily lives. Aisha often had trouble focusing on what was happening right in front of her due to all the thoughts that were waging war in her mind. Even before she had received a formal diagnosis of her condition, she found that this affected her greatly, both as a mother and as a wife.
It's very easy, actually, to handle a kid. A kid when she's doing her tantrum, if you know the technique. But then when I am in a stressed mind, in a stressful state, I am not preferred to do that kind of thing. I don't prefer to laugh. I don't prefer to tickle her. So I become more stressful. I shouted at her. You know, I cannot be happy. Even something very interesting in front of me, when I'm talking to my husband normally, when I'm talking to my husband, he is talking to me. He thought that I'm listening to him, but actually I'm not. You know, I was somewhere else. My mind is somewhere else. So I didn't listen to him at all. And I have to ask him to restart the conversation. You know, you have to tell me again because I wasn't focused just now.
Aisha attributes her emotional and mental struggles to the family conflict she was facing at home. See, as a newlywed, Aisha had moved out of her own home to live with her husband and his family. But slowly, tension began to build up between her and her mother-in-law as she struggled to adjust to the atmosphere in her new home.
People say, Masra. You know, Masra, like, come and talk, laugh, fun. No, there were no such things in that house. So it's more to formalities. Like when you eat, you said, you didn't jemput makan, things like that. But they were not like having fun together, shopping together, laugh, no such things. I don't have a formal house. My house is a totally fun type. You know, you can just have anything, anything in the kitchen. You don't have to ask your sisters or your brother who passed by, okay, jom makan lah. You don't have to say such things. But in my mother-in-law house, if you didn't say so, she will never come and join you. She will don't even look at you.
These were little incidents, but they built up and they underscored the differences in the culture between her family and her husband's family. She tried her best to settle in, but felt overwhelmed.
I always worried when I live with the same house with her. I always worry, okay, what I should do now. Okay, she's coming back from clinic. So my husband will give me hint, go and ask her, you know. So I will go and ask. I will try to do whatever that I know that she is expecting. And I'm sure I didn't know 100% because there is no briefing session like, okay, you need to ask this. If that's such situation, if you're eating, she passed by, you need to ask her to come and join. I tried my best to, you know, to do whatever that she felt. I sweep the floor, I mop the house. That is the routine. And when she cook, you need to stand next to her, just help her around. So once I know all these things, whatever that I have, I did my best.
Aisha says she lived in constant fear of doing the wrong thing, as the lack of communication within the family left her unsure of what was expected of her.
You know, if when on the first day or after a few days I married, my sister-in-law or my father-in-law, even my own husband or my other-in-law come and talk to me that, you know, if someone briefed me, like, okay, our mother-in-law is a bit sensitive. If someone briefed me such things, maybe I will do it. I'm not a bad person, you know. I just entered the house as a new member. So if you said such things like me, I will do whatever that I can. But the situation is different. Nobody is saying anything. And when you didn't do something, she will just come and attack you and shout at you as if you did something really, really bad and wrong, which actually you didn't even know that you have to do so. So yeah, that is the main reason for me. She will start to do that, these face reactions, you know. People will say, tarik muka, people will say, she doesn't have eye contact with me for a few days, maybe for at least 3-4 days. She won't talk much in that house. She will always keep quiet to herself. So I know if something is wrong. I didn't do something, but I don't know what is that. Sometimes I can predict what is that. Sometimes I cannot predict.
She found that living in such an unsettling environment began to affect not only her emotions, but also her marriage and her family life.
It's affected in a way that, of course, first of all, I'm not happy. I'm not a happy person. I'm not, people will say happy-go-lucky. I'm not that kind of person. I will be stressing for no reasons. You know, sometimes I just woke up in the morning and I started to already in a bad mood. But actually, nothing happened. When you ask me what is wrong, I can't answer your question. Nothing is wrong, but I'm not happy. So it's disturbing my quality of life. I cannot focus on my daughter. I cannot focus on my routine. I can't do something which is productive. Yes, every day I will be stressing. You know, kids will have their tantrum and all, but that is normal. If I am a happy person, I can handle it better. But then because I am already in a stressed mind, I cannot handle her, then maybe I will shout at her. Yeah, I started to shout at my daughter. So whatever is happening, you know, I started to hate my mother-in-law more because I feel she is the reason I cannot have a quality life. I cannot be happy with my daughter and husband. I always stressed. And I eventually have physical symptoms as well. So I always, every single day, I live in this phobia, I think people call it phobia or paranoid, like, oh, did I do anything wrong? Okay, what I have to do right now? You know, every single day I'm living with this kind of worriedness. I always worried because I don't want her to attack me, like what I said, told you just now. She will shout and things like that, you know, and she won't talk to us 3 days. Of course, my husband is affected as well. And when he is not happy, then he can't make me happy also, right? For example, maybe we have planned for dinner that night, but then that morning something happened, so it spoiled our mood, so everything cancelled. So yeah, in a way, it really affects our marriage happiness.
After the break, how Aisha eventually made the decision to get help for her emotional struggles. This is Because Feelings Matter, a short series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. Stay tuned to Health and Living on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik. This is Because Feelings Matter, a short series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. On this episode, we feature Aisha, who struggled to settle into family life with her in-laws when she first got married and how that eventually led to her stress spiraling out of control. After 6 years of living under the same roof as her in-laws, Aisha and her husband moved out of the house to avoid further family conflict. She tried then to cope with her anxiety and with the intrusive thoughts that plagued her, but it was a constant struggle.
My main concern is I don't want to think about her, because whatever that she has done to me is already past. Of course, it is ongoing because she didn't know that I'm having such problem. But like I said, maybe, you know, the issues maybe come once a month or once in every 2 months. So, but then the rest of the day, I should be happy at least, you know. I shouldn't be thinking about whatever that have passed, whatever that she has said before, or worrying about what is going to happen next. I should be just face this day and just be happy. But I cannot, because she is always in my mind. So that is my main concern. So what I tried is like when I cook, I will put on YouTube, just listen to song, but it didn't work. If you ask me what song was just now, I can't answer because my focus is not at that song at all. So I was still thinking about her while cooking, even though I played the YouTube. So it doesn't work.
At this point, Aisha had developed a wide variety of psychological symptoms such as flashbacks and nightmares, angry outbursts, and dissociating from her surroundings. Soon, she started experiencing physical symptoms as well, such as an irregular heartbeat, which she says stemmed from her constant state of anxiety. This went on for years before reality dawned.
Maybe at that time, I think I cannot change her. She will be the same. So I am the one who need to face this. I am the one who should not be affected with other people. You know, because sometimes people say, it's her mouth. Let her be. She can say whatever she wants. Why are you affected? You know, some people will say such way. And it's true as well. But the problem is not everybody have this, you know, the mental who can tahan all this nonsense thing, who can just ignore whatever people say. Some people really can affect them deep inside. So I just feel that I need to seek help when I feel like, okay, this is not going to end and I'm not going to live with this my whole life. Until it's really affecting me with a lot of symptoms, actually. So I feel like, okay, this is the time I really need to seek help, because I'm 100% sure that I'm not doing anything wrong. I am on the right side. I just want to live a normal life that everybody else is living. My sister-in-law living, which is her own daughter. I just want a normal life like her, without any disturbance and without any expectation and commitment. So I think that this is the time for me to seek help.
Even though she had made the decision to seek help, there were people around her who saw things differently. Family conflict? That was part and parcel of married life. They advised her to focus instead on just being happy with her husband. So Aisha turned to her sister.
One of my sister is counselor, so she understands it's better. She said, yeah, go for it, because she has disturbed your life a lot. She said, everybody in this life, we have a frame, actually. It's the counselor term, maybe. We have a frame. So my mother-in-law has get into that frame too many times. So she is already in the frame where it's supposed to be only me in that frame. So the rest should be out of the frame. But she is already in that frame, so I it's no wrong. It's no wrong for me to seek for help.
When she first started therapy, Aisha was determined to clear her mind of all the paranoia, the recollections of the hostility, and the anxiety that she had experienced over the years. She told her therapist that she wanted it all to go away.
My objective is I don't want to think about my mother-in-law at all. You know, and she said, but that is not possible, right, Aisha? Because you do know that you cannot delete someone from your memory, and memory is good so that it doesn't happen again. You know, these things seem simple, but when you were stressed, you just want to be out of it. You didn't think on the positive part, the logical part. You don't. Actually, yeah, it's true. I don't want to delete it. If I delete it, then I didn't know that how am I going to handle my mother-in-law. So she said, how about when she guided me, because psychologists normally they won't answer for us, they will just guide us. So when she guided me, and finally I realized myself that my objective shouldn't be removing my mother-in-law from my mind. My objective should be I want to live a happy and a quality life.
With the help of her psychologist, Aisha was able to acquire skills and coping strategies to manage her intrusive thoughts. But was it enough to give her the confidence to handle future crises on her own? Was she prepared to face other conflicts that could arise?
If the conflict is regarding my mother-in-law, yes, I'm sure I can handle it. I have gained the courage for the past 6 years. I have accumulated the courage that from my experience. I'm very sure I can handle her. But if it is in some other ways, I'm hoping I can use this experience to handle it better.
Would you be open to seeking help again? Like you said, you hope that you can face other problems, but you never know what may come. So would you be open to seeking help and therapy again if you need to?
Oh, of course, of course. Nothing wrong at all in seeking help. It's just like a friend of you. Just like talking to someone, you know, and she help you. And she's all the psychologists are really awesome. I think they are really talented. They know how to say things. They never judge you. She didn't even say that my mother-in-law is a bad person. And she always guide us. You are the one who will come up with that, actually. She will guide us. She will ask us things that I said, but what is it? Which one do you want? For example, a clear mind of mother-in-law or a quality life? So, of course, you will choose a quality life, right? So, she will only guide you.
In the Asian culture, there's a prevalent view that one should not air their dirty laundry in public, referring to the shame of revealing family problems to someone who is not part of the family. And this can stop people from seeking support if their mental health struggles are related to family issues. Did you ever come across anyone or, people who say, why are you talking about your family problems to someone outside of your family? What would you say to that?
You just need to be sure that you are not doing anything wrong. How is that wrong, telling someone else? Because I'm not addressing, who is my mother-in-law? Where is she staying? What is her contact number? So my reason is not to, condemn anyone here, but I want to help at least one person who is listening to this. If he or she is facing a problem, there is no harm in consulting a psychologist. It's as good as talking to a friend. Trust me, it is as good as talking to a friend. She will only guide you. He will only help you. So I don't feel I am doing anything wrong with this. You need help, so you seek for help. It's exactly the same way with a medical doctor. You need help and you seek for help, even though your sick is something you feel shameful to tell others and all, you still need to seek for help. So it, the same goes with this one. This one is your mental sickness compared to, general doctor is your physical sickness. And yeah, if you hold yourself from consulting a psychologist, which is when you have mental problem, it's going to drag you to physical problem, like what happened to me, because I stopped myself for 6 years. I hold myself for 6 years. Now I have to consult both medical and mental.
Would you say that you're a happy person now?
Oh, yes, I am. I am, but as my psychologist taught me, she asked me how would I rate myself from 1 to 10. 10 is the, 24 hours my mind is stressing and thinking about the negative things and all that. So I would say now maybe previously I rated 10 over 10 because, I'm not happy at all. She's always in my mind and all these things. Now I would say maybe 1 or 2 over 10. And what she told me, she advised me that, okay, as long as you feel you can handle it, okay, 2 over 10 is not going to disturb me. 2 over 10, maybe I only think about it twice a day and it's not going to affect me. It's not going to make me stressful. And even when I think about it, I will just ignore it and continue my routine. And, you know, I feel like I'm happy now. I don't have any trouble. Everything is over. I don't have to fight with my mind anymore. So, yes, I'm good now.
This has been Aisha's story of being diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD after dealing with family conflict for a prolonged period of time, but also how she eventually sought support and therapy for it. You've been listening to Because Feelings Matter, a series featuring personal stories of people and their mental health issues. If you missed any part of this show, or if you'd like to listen to previous podcasts, you can search for it on bfm.my or on our BFM app. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.